Well, I want to welcome and invite Pastor Mark to come and bring the word to us this morning. This is a good friend of mine who I've known now for many years, 13, 14 years. We've walked together, and I'm pleased to be able to host him when he's here, but I also appreciate this man of faith. He challenges me in my faith, and I'm so grateful. Come, Pastor Mark.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Joel, for Carrie, for inviting me over here. And it's just so amazing to be here. And I take this as an advantage to honor, acknowledge few people of God who has really blessed my life. It is first of all, Joel and Carrie, their family. In fact, 13 years before that, Joel told, he comes to my orphanage. For the first time I meet him with a group of people. And then in that prayer seminar or somewhere, he told, do you come to United States? If you happen to come, please come to our church, you know. And that's where the connection went on. And they had been so good to introduce us to Telford Hopewell Church, where Pastor Kurt and Anita Malisi. Wow. Wonderful people of God. I was there with my wife and myself coming for the first time there. What a wonderful people they are, servants of God they are. And the journey went like Pastor Kurt was the one actually God used him and Anita to push me into Hopewell, which actually was very blessing. And thank you so much. And it's a journey that we are having wonderful time with the Hopewell Network. And Pastor Joel also, Carrie, they help me to connect to various churches when we are here. And then comes Donna Martin. Wow. She does a lot for Raise Up His Ministries behind the scene, but it's hard work and sacrificial work. But I really, our family is so thankful for what the Lord does through her. And I know it's a lot of job, lot of work, but so loving. So whenever we had a question, she would answer us and she would do everything. Thank you, Donna Martin, and thank you very much. And also I take this privilege to honor and so thankful to Leon and Debbie, who are sitting there. Since 7 years, they had been such a wonderful people who host my family, and whenever we come, sometimes 2 months, sometimes 1.5 months, I just don't know how they can host me and help me. They help us in such a way, take us anywhere, you know, churches that I speak, and give me an atmosphere of listening from God. It's just an honor. Thank you very much, Leon and Debbie. Yeah, thank you. This morning I am here not with a sermon, but with a word from the Lord for everyone who is present here. And thank you, church, for being here this morning. So let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 27, verses 18 to 20. Of course, my message, you can see the sermon, the message points and the everything on the screen, but still I would like to give you my foundation scripture from Acts chapter 27, verse 18 to 20. Let me read it for you. And since we were violently tossed by the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we threw out with our own hands the equipment of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay over us, all hope that we would be saved was then taken away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your people who are present here. And I thank you for people watching online. Lord, there is a word for them, for every one of us, from the Lord this morning. And we are not here by accident. We are here with a divine purpose, and speak to us and use me, Lord. I humble myself. Use my tongue to bring your word that you have given to me for these people of yours. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the background of this particular passage goes to chapter 27 and 1 onwards, that we know that Paul is now a prisoner. With the prisoners, he is now traveling by ship, and they come to a land called Sidon, and then they sailed from Cyprus because of winds were contrary. And then the centurion shifts him to, and the prisoners to another ship that went to Italy, to Rome. Then they sailed slowly to Crete. But Paul advised there the sailor and the master of the ship and everyone. He said to the officers, he said, I'm advising you not to go further. Let's stop here. Let's be here for some days and let's not go further. But the centurion listened to sailing master rather than Paul's words. This all happened at the harbor of Crete. Now, God puts some people, some of you, in some places, and people need to listen to you because you are people of God. We are people of God wherever we are, and we have word from the Lord, word from heaven, and we need to speak out, and we need to be bold enough to speak what the Lord puts in our heart to the people whom we are sent. Maybe your neighbors, or maybe some individuals, or maybe when you go to your job or work, maybe you are caught up in traffic and there is somebody who comes on your way and they need word of the Lord from you. Now, that's what happened. God is trying to speak to these people in the ship through Paul, but these people didn't listen. But then they started from there with their own wisdom, with their own knowledge, but then they encountered violent wind and there arose lot of things that happened against the ship, and they had to just take out everything, and they were in shipwreck. Had they listened to Paul the apostle, they would not have had this. So now the word says here to us, they had no hope. That means they were in a hopeless condition, and they came to a question. That's the title of my message, is what to do. So today you may be here sitting just like Paul and also just like everyone in the ship. What do I do next? You may have come here this morning asking the Lord, what do I do next? What to do? I was in Pastor Joel and Carrie's house this I think in the beginning of the month or last month, end of last month. And I got a phone call from Jessica, my daughter, and said that there is a very bad situation that's happening with a boy, young boy, in our church. He went into cult and he went into a lot of teachings that were not according to the Bible. Then he became demon-possessed. And he became such a problematic person in his house. And in his house, he caused an havoc. It was totally confusion. And he wanted to go on the 2 or 3 stories building and wanted to kill himself. He didn't eat for 15 days or something. And then he comes from a family that was non-Christian family. And his aunt and his cousins would come to our church, and we have more than 700 people coming to our church. Everyone are coming from non-Christian background. But if this boy, young boy, if he kills himself, that would be a terrific situation for my family and for my church. And it would be very terrible. Now, that night, I am in the bedroom, but then talking to Jessica and sleeping. But then the Lord put in my heart, you have to share this to Carrie and Pastor Joel. That was, you know, in the breakfast. I was in a situation like, what to do? What should I do? And Jessica said, like, it's really very dangerous, very terrific. So I am with a question, what to do? And the Lord said, just pour out your heart with these people of God. And I did share to them. And they are so anointed in counseling or one-on-one, you know, people. That's their anointing and gifting. And so they were right there, these two of them, they gave me some instructions like one, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I got that advice. I took that advice and I gave it to Jessica. And I said, Jessica, you have to do these 5 things. God used Joel and Carrie to tell me this. Wow, guess what? It so happened that boy who was supposed to cause such an havoc and problem, praise God, that he became all right. He started eating, he started, you know, drinking water, and he started becoming a, you know, healthy, and we were out of confusion. Praise God. So, in the crisis like Paul and people faced, what to do? You may be seated here today. Maybe in your situation, maybe in your challenge, you are saying like, what to do? What can I do? In life, we all face situations that require God's wisdom beyond our understanding. Whether it's making a major decision or navigating everyday challenges, it can be overwhelming when we don't know what to do. James 1:5 reminds us of the amazing truth. We have access to God's infinite wisdom whenever we ask. You need to ask. Come on. As I did, ask the Lord, what can I do, Lord, in this midnight? I just said, the Lord told, go and speak to these people. And I spoke. The Lord gave me wisdom. So God isn't a distant, unapproachable deity waiting to point out our flaws. Instead, he is generous and loving Father, eager to provide the guidance we need. When we come to him in humility, recognizing our need, he meets us with abundant wisdom, no strings attached. The beauty of this promise, James 1:5, you all know it, if anybody lacks wisdom, guidance, direction, the beauty of it is that God doesn't limit his wisdom to only those who have it all together. He gives generously to all who seek him, and he doesn't hold our past mistakes against us. Our job is simply to ask in faith, trusting that God will respond. So in our life today, whether you are wrestling with a specific decision or just needing clarity in the midst of confusion, take heart, dear God's people, in knowing that you can ask God for wisdom and he will provide it abundantly. I was a few years ago, the Lord called me and my team to a certain village to preach the gospel. This was totally the village which didn't know the gospel, Jesus Christ. Now this is about a small village, about 100 people population, about, you know, 20 families there, because this village needed Jesus. So we were invited by one of our network church friend to go to this village with our team of 10 members. And then he hired a school, a primary school building. And so we were supposed to preach there the gospel. So we had our music team with Indian instruments, and the music went on. There were about 70 to 80 people who gathered to listen to the gospel. And now I am about to preach the gospel, and I opened my Bible and I started preaching the gospel. But just 10 feet further, there was a group of fanatic, radical people that were against this gospel meeting. There were about 15 to 20 people, okay? So now they wanted to cause a problem. When I started preaching, they started yelling. They started mocking and criticizing. Their agenda was, the people who gathered to listen to the gospel should not hear what I'm speaking. So they wanted to somehow shut up my voice. And so what they did was, whenever I said hallelujah, they shouted malaria. Yes. So whenever I shouted hallelujah, these people would say malaria. And they would shut me preaching the gospel to this congregation. Well, it went on for an hour. After we finished the gospel, there were salvations, and it was a little bit quite different situation, like very difficult. My team was praying, Lord, what to do? Whether we go and tell these people, these 15, 20 people, to leave the place? No, it's a new village. We can't do that. They would be violent because we are new to that village. Those people are from that village. So what to do? And God gave a word to one of our team. The Lord said, in silence, you will conquer this battle. Be silent. So what we did, we finished our gospel meeting. We go back to home. And the next day, sure enough, the evangelist who invited me from our network church, he said, Pastor Mark, there is an urgent prayer request. I asked him, what? And he said, everyone who shouted malaria are now affected with the disease malaria. And so you have to pray. I said, do you want me to pray today? Yes. Okay. In my flesh, I thought, I think let me wait for a week, you know. But the Lord said, revenge is mine. Come on. My servant, take the phone. Pray for these people. Guess what? Listen to this carefully. Sometimes God puts us in a situation and we need to be silent. Guess what? All these 15 people to whom we prayed got over the malaria, but then out of them, 10 people are our network pastors. Come on, give a clap offering to Jesus. Come on. So, yes, praise God. So what to do is the question, but don't worry. I'm going to show you, tell you two stories to help your faith to increase. Anyway, I thank God for Pastor Joel didn't tell me what time I should finish my message. So I may go until midnight. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so let's see this picture. Yes, you're right. Elisha is Stephen's second son and is my second grandson. He is 9 years old. But this year it so happened that he's studying in his second grade, but then this year it so happened he started to have a severe stomach pain. And he would just crawl on the sofa for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and then Stephen and Jessica, my son-in-law and my daughter, took him to the hospital, and then they had few checkups and everything. Then they took him to a American connected big hospital in Bangalore, where they did every scan and everything, and the doctor told, we found that there is a fluid that is being accumulated in kidneys and we don't know where it is coming from. So we asked, like, what medicine you could give. They told, we will not give any medicine because we need to just find out from where this fluid is accumulated in the kidney. We said, like, this boy is suffering from pain. We need something, at least a painkiller. The doctor told, you can't do that. He just sent the boy and the parents, my son-in-law and my daughter, and he said, no, you can't do anything. We are like, oh, Lord, what to do? The doctor, we told, like, you could diagnose something. And the doctor told, we cannot diagnose. We have to wait. You have to wait for another 4 months. So we just asked, like, he's crawling in his bed and he cannot bear the pain. The doctor told, we are very sorry. We can't do anything. So my grandson and my daughter, my son-in-law, we bring him. This year, the Lord told us that we will have every week a prayer meeting in our church to believe God for unusual miracles and supernatural miracle. It's just reading the scripture in the Bible or a miracle story in the Bible and ask God for people to believe. So in the situation of what to do, we brought this boy. About 100 people, they prayed. They just laid their hands on him, prayed. Guess what? It's been July, August, September. Now we are in October. The pain is gone. Yes. Come on. The pain is gone. And he doesn't have to worry about anything. He's going to school. This morning I spoke to him. He's good. Praise God. Is there anybody today here, you are going through some pain that is really bothering you, that is really putting you down? Are you here this morning? What to do? Are you with that question? Or your relatives, or your family members? I want to encourage you that just see God, just look to God. And what man cannot do, God will do it for you. Let me show you the next picture. That is a girl, the woman, but her daughter name is Rebecca. She is a woman of faith. She goes to work and then she comes to prayer regularly. Come on, be serious about the church. Be serious about the prayers. Be serious even about the worship. When you worship, you worship. Come on. Okay? So this woman would be very, you know, radical in prayer. You know, she goes to work, but she earns very little. But sure enough, what happened, her daughter got into a terrible, sickness in her brain or something. And she had to go to the doctor. She goes to Christian hospital. It's a Baptist hospital. And she goes there. And the doctor told, we need to do some surgery or something. And then she sees the senior doctor. And the doctor said, you need $5,000 worth of Indian rupees to get this surgery done to this, your daughter. She said, like, I'm working as a laborer in a house. I just get very little. $5,000 worth of Indian rupees, it would take 1 year. So that our doctor told, you go and bring that money. We will get the surgery done. But she was in very difficult condition, and the church is praying for her daughter, Rebecca. Seeing the doctor, she goes back to go out of the main gate of the hospital. Then she happened to meet the receptionist at the hospital. And the receptionist asked this woman, like, why? Why are you going? Why are you taking your daughter who is suffering? And she told, I don't have money. And the doctors told, we cannot get the surgery done without the money. She said, woman, listen, 5 minutes before, there was someone who came and paid your $5,000 worth of Indian rupees for your daughter to get the surgery done. And she got the surgery done, and herself and our daughter are, you know, the people who really love God and who serve God. Now, why did I tell you this story is, this woman, no matter what she was going through, she would not miss the church. She would not miss the prayer. She would not miss the prayer meeting or fasting prayer or whatever. And God sent his angel and paid her bill. Come on, give a clap offering to Jesus. I believe Pastor Joel and Carrie and the church here and everyone who have come over here today, you will see radical, supernatural miracles in your life from this day onwards. Just like what we are seeing in India. Now, I'm going to give you three things, or three things that Paul did in the situation, in the questions that he faced what to do, or his people who faced the question what to do. And Paul did these three things. So also you can do these three things and you can see the answers to your questions. So number one, we read in verse 21 and 22, in the midst of turmoil, verses 21 and 22, but after a long abstinence from food, Paul stood up in their midst and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not set sail from Crete and incurred this harm and loss. But now I urge you to take courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." So in the midst of what to do, number one, what you should do, let's see, you have to have bold profession. Make a bold profession just like Paul. When everybody were confused, when everybody was disturbed, when everyone over there just like, what to do, what to do? Paul stood up. America, you need to stand up. Everyone over here, speak up. What God gives you, speak up. Now, everyone is confused. Everyone is falling down. Everybody is fearful. But then Paul stands up and makes a bold profession. He said, "Man, you should have listened to me." We need to give heed to the voice of God on a daily basis. Maybe there are times that God speaks to you in the night. When you are silent, God speaks to you through His Word, through the Holy Spirit. You need to give caution to that. You need to listen to that. So Paul makes a bold profession. You need to make bold profession. You need to be confessing. You need to be declaring the words that God gives you. In Hebrews 10:23, we'll see that. "Let us hold firmly the confession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful who promised." Come on. He's faithful who promised. What are those promises that God has given you that you laid it off? You have written in your book, but then you thought because of the situation, you just forgot them. Today the Lord is telling, go back. Take those promises. Dig into those promises. Just look over it. Start making a bold profession over that. And just start speaking those words. You will see an answer to what to do. Let's see this picture. Okay. This is a priest, okay? And you can see with a beard, and he's a pastor of our network. Pastor Joel, you have met him there. And even Carrie, I think you met him during our conference. Now, this Pastor David is in our network who do not know how to read and write, but he planted three churches. he do not know how to read and write. All he says is, he asked the Lord, "Lord, put your words, download your words in me." And he goes on preaching. He just says, this book, this chapter, this verse, he goes on. And God has gifted him in such a way to pray for the sick people, he goes on praying. But what happened in his village, where there are 150 people who are coming to the Lord, you can see that I am praying for this old man. He is he's in his 70, but he's a priest who did some witchcraft against Pastor David and his church. And he would do in such a way the witchcraft that it would stop people to come to church. He would put spells upon people. And he would say, like, this sickness should come upon people. And people would fall sick. So it was like a very severe battle between Pastor David and this priest. It went on months, Pastor David would pray. Then this priest would stop these people to come to church. But it so happened, one day, can you show that picture again, if you don't mind? Okay. One day, I went there to conduct 3 days fasting and prayer. When I say fasting, it's fasting. It's not feasting. It's no burger, no cheeseburger, no Starbucks, nothing. It's just water And 3 days we had to fast and pray for this man. On the third day, God answered our prayer. Guess what? This man left all his temple, all his, you know, practices, and he runs and come to the Lord. It's because every demon he sent upon the people came upon his family. And they started bothering him. So he needed peace where he gets. Jesus, come on. So he knew Pastor David's God is Jesus, and he's a living God, and he's the only God who can restore and give peace. And now he is a believer of that church. Dear God's people, what is against you? What is bothering you? What is battling against you? What is not giving you sleep? Today I want to tell you, hold on to that promise that God has given to you, and just make a bold, bold profession. Is there another picture there? Okay, very good. Yeah, you can see here, tree, okay? And you see here, the worship is going on there. No facilities there, no building. You have air condition, but we had a natural condition. I mean, very good breeze and everything. But worshiping the Lord, there were about 200 people under the tree worshiping the Lord. And before Pastor David had a church building, he used to gather under this tree for years, every Sunday worshiping the Lord. But then comes a question like, when there is a monsoon, sometimes there is a rain all through the day. So normally we pray that Sunday there should not be rain, because our people come from motorbike. You people come in car to the worship, but our people come in bicycle, some people walk, and some people come in motorbike, so that the rain should not stop. But it so happened in his village, rain came. There was heavy pour. But there were people worshiping the Lord on Sunday under a tree. How? Was it in the rain, or people holding umbrella? They didn't bring umbrella, you know, but they only brought Bible. If they brought it umbrella, that means they don't have faith. So they didn't bring umbrella, but they just came to the worship. But they did one thing. They said every Sunday, this 150 or 200 people, they would take a bottle of water, and everyone praying over that water, and they speak, this is the blood of Jesus, and they pour it around the place where they used to sit. For sure enough, the rain comes, but it would not pour upon these people who are worshiping the Lord. The rain would pour upon the people in the village, and they are with umbrella, but these people are without umbrella, but they are worshiping the Lord. Until the Lord gave them a church, there was no rain under this tree. Come on. So that's how this priest come to the Lord. Praise God. So bold profession. Let's go to the second thing that you should do when you face with the question what to do. It's in verse 23 and 24. Let's see, you know, how Paul handles the situation. Paul said, for tonight there stood by me an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid. Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and see, God has given you all those who are sailing with you. Okay? God has given you all those who are sailing with you. The second thing that you should do when you face with a situation, question what to do, is hold on to the promises of God. Come on. So is there anybody today, you are having that fear and discouragement and depression, or things that are really fierce and intense? The Lord is telling, my child, my daughter and my son, I brought you here to listen to this message. Just trust me. Just give your whole life to me. I am there for you. I will see that things will go well with you, even though you may have to go through certain things in your life, but the Lord gives you the promises. But you need to hold on to that promises. You see, when there was going to be a shipwreck and there was a lot of confusion, even in the sailmaster and the people and the centurion, angel of God appeared to Paul in the night. And the angel of God said, "Don't be afraid, Paul. You are going to stand before Caesar." Okay? But still, there was things happening. There were things that they had to face, but the promise of God superseded every problem. Come on. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, for the glory of God through Jesus Christ." Come on. All the promises of God. What are those promises that God spoke over you? Just hold on to those. Hold on to those. Don't give up. Don't give up. The Lord is telling today to every one of you, don't give up. No matter what's your battle, no matter what the situation, what the challenges, just hold on to that promises. And that promises will give you faith and courage, especially to the people to whom you are sent. And Pastor Joel and Carrie, as you are being sent to Kenya, the Lord says that hold on to those promises that he spoke over you. Go with that. And you will see mighty miracle that God does through the promises that he has given to you. Last year, October, myself, my son-in-law, Stephen, we leave this country. We go to India. We normally, season has changed. So normally we get rain until November or in the beginning of December. But guess what? Last year, November, December, January, February, March, April, there was no rain. Not even drop of rain in our state. So it was in the news everywhere. It was known as a dry season. 6 months, come on. You don't have rain for 3 weeks. You say like, "Oh God, we need rain for this grass and oh, it's dry." But 6 months, our farmers and everybody were in so much mess. And many of the village leaders, they come to us and they ask us like, "Pray for us." But then, you know, we have a borewell and enough water in our church premises. And in our village, people came to us with the plastic pots, and hundreds of people in the morning and evening would come to our church and draw water from us, take water. We put a board just near that borewell saying, "Living water." We put that, we have that, living water. So people started coming and taking the water in February, March, April. But we as a church, we prayed. God give us rain so that these people would not suffer. But God delayed in answering our prayer. Maybe there are delays in your prayer, but it's not denial. Guess what? In the beginning of April, we had press reporters, you know, local TV station reporters. They come to us and they ask like, "Who is the pastor of this church?" I was brought, and they had a camera and they just asked like, "How in the world, in this dry season, 6 months no rain, your church has water?" And then so Pastor Mark, speak on. So I took this as an advantage to speak the gospel and tell about Jesus. And also I said like, Jesus has given us water to share to our community and so on. So I took nearly 20 minutes preaching the gospel. Guess what? The places that we could not go and preach the gospel, these people take my, you know, voice recording and my recording of gospel, and they telecasted it following week, and 67 million people heard the gospel. During the dry season. Now, you may ask, like, you may be going through some stuff in your life. You may be asking, like, why delay? Why delay? Now, we had delay. It's because the Lord wanted to give his word. The gospel needed to be preached to 67 million people in our state. But the story doesn't end there. Now, we come into April 18 this year, and we just, you know, we needed, you know, rain for our farming land, agricultural land. And there were people who came and they said, okay, it has been 6 months. And many, many Hindu people would come to us and request us. So we told, okay, let's sacrifice. Let's do this thing. Let's go on 3 days fasting again. So I told, anybody who is suffering from diabetes or anything, you're not supposed to come to this prayer. It's only people who can fast. You have to fast food. So we took 3 days this year, and first day, second day, and the third day. And the third day, 4 o'clock in the noon, Stephen comes up in the podium and he says, God has given me a word. I asked him what. He said, there will be a heavy, heavy, heavy rain this night. I told Stephen, I think you should take the microphone and tell, because I don't know. And so Stephen comes and he makes a bold profession and he says, 9 p.m. tonight, there will be heavy rain and everyone needs to get into your house before that. For sure enough, we have a video of that, that Stephen speaking, and after a few hours, the rain came from 9 o'clock till the morning. There was heavy pour rain. And people witnessed the power of God. But guess what? From that April onwards, we have till today, Bangalore is flooded. And now people are asking, please pray that God would stop the rain. Please pray that God would stop the rain. But I think until I go, I'm not going to pray for that, because I wanted here to be dry so that when I go back to India, I will send the rain to your country. Okay, so praise God. And number three and the last one, okay? Are you all here? In the midst of situation of what to do, what Paul did, number one, he did make a bold profession of faith. Number two, he did hold on to the promise of God. And number three, it's in verse 25 and 26 in Acts chapter 27. Therefore, men have courage. For I believe God, that it will be just as it was told me. Come on, you need to have that. I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Paul, you know, he says he had, the third one is proper perspective. The third one, in the middle of the confusion situation, you need to have proper perspective. Come on. Proper perspective about three things. Three persons. One is about God. And the second one is proper perspective about people you are sent to. That's the second perspective you need to have. People you are sent to. I will tell you a small story and I will end my message. This was my co-pastor also, like, he had started a ministry in a village, but he lived in a 10 by 10 feet house. 10 by 10 feet is maybe 100 square yards, okay? So he lived in that. It was his kitchen, it was his bedroom, and it was his Sunday morning worship, you know, place. But in that very small room, we would, you know, show Jesus movie, and then we go to that small room to eat the food. And the pastor and wife told, like, we were 4 people. We go there, and he said, we cannot sit in this room because it's very small. 10 by 10, 10 into 10, or 10 by 10 feet. It's a very small house. Not even 4 people could sit, you know, and eat the food. So we would hold the plates in our hand, and we would eat the food. But guess what? On Sunday, 200 people sat in that room, worshipped God. How can it happen? It did happen. Come on. Our God is a supernatural God. He and his wife would go to the walls, okay, the concrete walls, and they would touch that walls and ask God, Lord, stretch these walls like a balloon on Sunday. So Sunday morning, from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock until they finished the service, this building would stretch. And 200 people sat. But after they all finished prayer, everything over, they go out, it would stretch again. It would come again into the same place. So have proper perspective about God and about people you are sent. And number three, and the last one, is have proper perspective about yourself. Come on. Have proper perspective about yourself. I will show you a picture of a, can you go? Yeah, you see here a small boy. He's a two-year-old boy, okay? You can see two-year-old boy. This boy was rejected, abandoned, and he was three-month-old baby when he was put in the hospital. He was born to a prostitute, and then the doctors were almost about to kill this boy in our country, in a village hospital. Then comes Canadian missionaries from Canada as a missionaries to India in 1960s. And one day they go to this hospital and the doctors and the nurses told, here is a baby, 3-month-old baby, unwanted, not man's choice. So we want to get rid of this baby if you don't take. Now, these missionaries came to start an orphanage in India in 1960s, and they raised more than 200 children. So this boy was one among those 200 children. And they taught him the word of God. They led him to salvation, and he was baptized, and he became so radical in God's things. And he planted churches when he became, you know, as growing. And he went to countries. He preached the gospel. He started an orphanage. He started his own organization. It's because this boy had a proper perspective about himself. That is, that he had God's perspective. And that's why God used him. Do you want to know who is this boy? Let's go to the next picture. We don't have that. That's myself. That's myself in front of you. It's because of Jesus. I want to encourage every one of you. Do you have a mess in your past? Or are you going through in life some situations? Today I want to encourage every one of you. Have proper perspective about God. And have proper perspective about to people to whom you are sent. And have proper perspective about yourself. Dig into the word of God. Stand strong in God's word. And what God did to me and what God is doing through me, he can do it to every one of you. And God bless you. Over to Pastor Joel. Yes. And anybody wants to know more about our ministry, the flyers are there on the table. And you can definitely pick up those and you can know more about our ministry. Thank you.
Can we do this before you?
Yes.
Tomorrow. Tomorrow, Pastor Mark flies to another part of the U.S. where he will be for one more week, and then he goes back to India. So can we just extend a hand toward him? Lord, I thank you for this servant of God. This man of God whose bold profession has enabled you to do many miracles. Lord, I pray that as he goes, Lord, he does not go in his own strength,
yes, God,
but he goes in your strength.
Yes, God.
Lord, and we pray for him, Lord, that as we stand behind him as the body of Christ, Lord, that he would be able to do much more,
yes, God,
above and beyond his own strength because of the power,
yes, God,
that is at work in him. Lord, we pray your blessing over his family, over his ministry, and over his country. In Jesus' name.
Yes, God. Amen. Amen.